Your speaking is so precious to us, Lord. We praise you. Your word gives us life. This morning you are giving us even more life. To whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Lord, increase and nurture your bride this morning. Give us the washing of the water of the word. Hallelujah. Let us see you and prepare us for the coming of the Lord. Wake us up. Lord, this time should be a time of awakening and of building up and edification so that we would be fully for you and drawn to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can sanctify ourselves to seek your face. It's such a privilege to be here.
Eine Zeit, um mit ganzem Herzen den Herrn zu suchen.
To have a time in which we could seek the Lord from our whole heart.
Es ist gut, sich persönlich zu fragen, was will ich?
But it depends on what each one of us wants.
Warum bin ich hierher gekommen? Was ist mein Ziel?
It's worthwhile to ask yourself, what do I want? Why did I come here? What's my goal?
Wenn mein Ziel ist, den Herrn zu
finden, my goal is to find the Lord and to gain the Lord, then the Lord tells us, if you seek me from your whole heart. This is a promise that God has given us.
Jeremiah 29, sagte dort in Vers 13,
in Jeremiah 29:13, the Lord says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:13. Isn't this a glorious promise? You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Praise the Lord.
Jeremiah 29:13.
Jeremiah 29:13.
Doch Herr Jesus Christus, der Herr hat uns zusammengerufen, um uns zu ermutigen.
The Lord has called us together to encourage us. He has called us out of so many things.
Im Alltag ist man so beschäftigt.
Out of our everyday and all the things that occupy us.
Denn die Arbeit geht mit seiner Arbeit. Der keine Arbeit vielleicht gerade tut mit anderen Dingen.
Okay, can we turn this down?
Oh, wir sind manchmal so beschäftigt. Und deshalb so gut, dass der Herr uns rausruft und zu sich ruft.
And that's why it's so good that the Lord calls us out,
calls us to him. Alles andere jetzt mal da hinten zu lassen.
It's so good to leave everything else behind and not during this time to think of all the things that are at home. What's going to happen when I go home? Lord, I want to be for you. I want to be here for you now. I want to find you in this time. I want to find you in this time. I want to encounter you here on the Michelsberg, and I want to see a new vision of your purpose. Yesterday, my eyes were opened anew. What God has called us for, I think it's not possible to fully grasp. Who among us can grasp that he is to be a king to reign with Christ over over the nations for 1,000 years? Can you grasp that? Can you imagine to sit on the throne of God as a man with the living, glorious, and almighty God to reign with him? Have you ever dreamed of such a thing? Have you dreamed of having such a calling? Is it not incredible? And it's likely that we are living very close to the time. So what's important to us in this time? What are the things that we're going to allow to distract us? Because whatever it is, it will surely not be worth it. And in recent times, there's a verse that has touched me again and again. Romans 8:18. It really expresses the vision with which Paul, the attitude with which Paul lived on this earth and served God. He didn't just serve God, but he really had a vision. He really saw something of that which we cannot see with our eyes today. In Romans 8:18, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us."
Wow.
It says there's no comparison. They are not worthy to be compared. And how much suffering did this man endure? Perhaps more suffering than all of us, many of us all together. He was stoned. He had repeated shipwrecks. He was struck with rods. He was persecuted everywhere. And this man says, "I consider," or in the German translation says, "I'm persuaded." Do we also have this conviction that everything that we go through, and there are really difficult things that we all go through, but everything we go through is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us? Praise the Lord, it's worthwhile. This verse is an encouragement for us to remind ourselves again and again, it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile to accept the chastening of the Lord. Yesterday we heard about the chastening. I think each one of us has experienced this. Sometimes the Lord has to chasten us a lot. The verses that we read this morning were quite powerful in the Psalms. Psalm 118, verse 18, "The Lord has chastened me severely. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death." This is the goal that God has before his eyes when he is dealing with us, chastening us. If there is chastening in our life that really is difficult and feels severe, it's because our Father loves us and because he has such a goal for us before our eyes, before his eyes. And under no circumstances does he want us to miss this goal. I can't rely on myself. Sometimes we may seem like we're very absolute, but when our everyday comes to pass and temptation arises, who is really that strong? Yesterday evening we heard about temptation and our will. And in those situations, you really identify how strong your will is for God. Of course, when you're in a conference, it's wonderful. But if the thing that tempts you and draws you most away from God is before your eyes, then how strong is your will then? Therefore, we really cannot trust in or rely on ourselves. But thankfully, we have a wonderful Father. We have a Father who has never lost or has never lost view of the goal that he has from us, that he has created and called us for. And because of this wonderful goal, and for the sake of this wonderful goal, he chastens us. And if you see how the chastening of the Father brings you back to the right path, then what can you do but praise and thank him and worship him? And that's why he says in the next verse, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord." I thank the Lord for all chastening that we are receiving from him in love, that we would not miss the goal. The Lord is coming so soon, and we want to belong to those who reach the goal. Because one thing is for sure, if you miss this goal, then at the latest, at that point, you'll realize what you missed out on, but then it'll be too late. Then you can only weep. It's Esau like with Esau. Esau was the firstborn.
Das Ziel von ihm war, dass er
and his goal was to inherit the birthright. But he despised it twice. First with the soup, and second when he was betrayed by his brother, because he despised it. But when he lost his birthright, he wept. Isn't that amazing? He despised his birthright his whole life until the point in time where he missed out on it, and then he saw the value of it. That's a warning to me. I want to treasure what you give me. I don't want to be like Esau because of some short-term, short-lived, temporary thing, some small success, some temporary thing that seems important to me today, to miss the coming kingdom of God. That is enormous foolishness. The Lord says, then there will be weeping, gnashing of teeth, sitting in the outer darkness. And that's why the Lord is calling us together, so that we would not go through this. We really have to be saved. We have to be saved from all these things. Lord, that we would not be like Esau, but to accept the chastening of the Lord. And such a king, he's not just a king, but he's the King of Kings. This wonderful King, of course, desires that we would obey him. If we see him and obey him, it is only blessing. It is pure blessing. The Lord has forsaken so much for us. Is there anything he hasn't forsaken? He died for us. None of us are worthy of that. But he forsook his life. He left his life because of his purpose for us. And now he wants to bring us to the goal. And he's not doing it without our cooperation, without our obedience. Our obedience is very important so that we may reach the goal. Oh Lord, bring us to the goal. That we would really trust in him and obey him.
Amen. Ja, wir haben hier geschrieben, dem König Jesus von ganzem Herzen und in Liebe gehorchen.
Amen. On the outline, it says, obeying Jesus the King from our whole heart and in love. This is Roman numeral 1, letter C, number 3. Whom do we obey? We have to ask ourselves this. We obey him who loves us. We obey him who loved us and made us a royal priesthood. The churches in Revelation.
Der Herr hat zu allen sieben Gemeinden diesen Satz gesagt.
The Lord spoke the same sentence to all the seven churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Herr Jesus, der Herr muss uns so zeigen.
The Lord has to show us. If we listen to him, if we hear what he is saying, it will only result in blessing for us. Had the churches in Revelation listened and heard and obeyed the King, what a different result would there have been. If the church in Ephesus had listened, what would the result have been? Sorrow and suffering? No, it would have restored the first love. And the light, the lampstand would have shone again, and the church would have reached the goal had they listened to him, had they obeyed him. The church in Pergamos that was entangled with the world, if they had listened to him, what would the result have been? They would have been able to repent from the deceit of this age. They would have eaten of the hidden manna, and they would have received a new stone, a new name, and so many rewards for obeying him. This is so important. If we see that obeying the king brings us so many rewards and so much blessing, it makes us overcomers. It's so worthwhile to strive for obedience. If the churches in Revelation had only obeyed him, they would have received all the promises and all the rewards that he promised them, all of them, even to sit with him on the throne. He said, he who overcomes. Well, what's overcoming? Overcoming is nothing but to obey him. In other words, you listen to him, you hear him. He would give us power over the nations and rule over them with a rod of iron.
O Herr, und wir werden mit ihm auf seinem Thron sitzen.
And we will sit with him on his throne.
Herr Jesus, ist es nicht wunderbar, diesem König zu gehorchen?
Isn't it wonderful to obey this king?
So viele Segnungen, Belohnungen.
There are so many blessings, so many rewards. You can read it yourself in Leviticus 26, in Deuteronomy 28. Two chapters that speak only of obedience. Is it not astonishing that these are some of the longest chapters in the Bible and they are about obedience and disobedience? And the part about obedience is not that long, but it's full of blessing. And the part about disobedience is very long. And oh, it's more and more severe the more you read about it. And it's even about cursing and death. Why? Because God desires that we would really internalize this simple principle. If we listen to him, it's blessing. If we disobey him, it's a cursing. It's a curse. Is that so hard to understand? When the children obey the parents, isn't it a blessing? And when they're disobedient, then many things will happen that are not good. If the children don't brush their teeth because they are disobedient, then they will get cavities. Then you have to go to the dentist and they will drill your teeth. That happened to one of our kids. We said, yeah, brush your teeth in the back. Brush them. And he said, yeah, I'm doing it. And then when he was at the dentist said, oh, now we have to drill 3 times. Come back in 2 weeks. A 1-hour appointment. Since then, our son obeys. No more problem with brushing his teeth. But that is our problem. Often we only obey the Lord when it hurts. That's our sickness. When we're in pain, when it's painful, and we have no further option, then we say, okay, Lord, I will obey you. There's a verse in Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 30, Deuteronomy 4:30. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, so many days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice.
Oh Herr, das ist eine Urkrankheit.
This is an ancient disease and that we have, a sickness. We don't trust this God, his love, his wisdom. If we were to know it more and trust in it more, we would obey him. But what do we need for this? We need a renewed will. We need a strengthened will through the Spirit. The Lord wants to bring us to this point that we are not just a people who obeys him when we are in such distress and we have no other option. Then we say, God, where are you? I am seeking you. But he wants us to listen to him even when things are going well for us. That's the true love. If you only obey when everything has gone wrong, sometimes it's like that with the kids and me too, with respect to the Lord. Everything has gone wrong. Then I go to the Lord and say, oh, what did you say? Tell me again. Oh, speak to me. Now I'm going to take your word seriously. Lord, forgive me that I missed this meeting. Then all at once, we're in every meeting again. Because the situation became so grave. But this king wants to bring us on. He really wants to bring us onward. He wants to gain our heart for himself. And in Deuteronomy 30, I can only recommend reading Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's a wonderful chapter about the relationship to God. And to return to him with our whole heart. In verse 20, he says, Deuteronomy 30, 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Is that not so sweet that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice? What kind of obedience do we desire? Just obedience because we fear punishment, or obedience out of love? George, why should our children obey us? Just because of punishment? Yeah, sometimes that is necessary. You can't discipline and have obedience without punishment, so chastening is important. But how much better if they obey because they love us and they obey us out of love? When obedience and love come together, it's a wonderful package. And this is so precious. When we know the Lord, not only as our Savior, to know the Savior is, it's within us. When we have a problem, we need a Savior. Oh Lord, save me. I can't sleep anymore. I have no peace in my heart. I have so many problems. Please save me. I can't sleep. Then you really cry out to God. If you can't sleep, you really cry out. That is the Savior. That makes sense. But if you know the Lord as the King, then we obey him not only when we have problems, but we obey him all the time, even when we're doing well. That's this morning's burden, that we would know the Lord not only as our Savior, but also as the King. That we would listen to him and obey him not only when things have gotten so hard, but that we would obey him no matter what the situation. That's what the Lord desires of us. And that only can occur through his life and through his love. We need his life and we need his love. So that we can be such people. When you read the story of the children of Israel, it was always this cycle. They were doing well, and then they did so well, and everything was so good that they forgot God. And then they were doing so badly that they returned to God, but then they had too long of a period where they were doing well, and then they forgot God again. Isn't that like our life? In the past, I thought the children of Israel were dumb. But today I have to say, I am dumb. I'm stupid. Because it's this cycle that shows that our heart is not so steadfast or clinging to the Lord. Because this people did not have a steadfast and established heart. That's why it went up and down for them. If it was going well for them, they went to the idols. And if it was going poorly, then they returned to God. So there are some examples in the outline. Let our heart be searched before the Lord constantly. It's so good to tell the Lord in these days, Lord, search my heart. Know my thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me on the way everlasting. These idols, these distractions have to be cast out of my heart so that when God gives me something good, my heart would not run away, but it would stay with him, cling to him.
Hey Jesus, es ist ein wunderbares Gebet.
This is a wonderful prayer. Amen. Search me and know my heart. Amen. Know my thoughts. Know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me. And in German, the word for wicked is also translated as ungodly or idolatrous or painful, if there is any painful way in me, because every time we disobey the Lord, it will result in pain or suffering. If there's anything in my heart that is more important than God, whatever it may be, a person or a thing, it will bring pain and suffering. In these days, we have to tell the Lord, it's so good for there to be nothing in our heart that's more important than the Lord. So ask him, God, what is the most important thing in my heart? And the Lord said it, even when it's to do with your father, mother, wife, children, your house, no matter what, even these aspects of our family. Of course, we love our family. But the Lord said, if you love those things more than him, we are not worthy of him. We are not worthy of him. That's a very powerful word. That's to say, the Lord does not want us to neglect one another, but he wants to be the most important thing in our hearts. He desires that we would have nothing, no love beside him. That we would really allow our hearts to be circumcised. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Such a precious word that saves us. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live.
Amen.
What a blessing. It's so good to say to the Lord, Lord, cut everything off in me that has become more important than you, whatever it may be, a relationship, an occupation, myself, whatever it is. Lord, circumcise my heart, that I would love you from my whole heart and with all my soul, that I may live. How wonderful to use this time, because there is one who wants to bring our heart away from this ordinance, or from these priorities, that God should be number one. Satan always wants to deceive us. His name is even the deceiver. It started in the Garden of Eden with Eve, but it didn't stop there. Today we are the bride of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul addressed this in verse 2 and 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. He says, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. And my impression is, I don't know about you, but my experience is that the battle in these last days is very intense. It has gotten very intense. I have had several experiences in the last few months that I've never had before. Such an intense battle that I thought, wow, what's going on? The Lord must be coming soon. That's the only explanation that I can come up with, because the battle has become so intense. The Lord is really coming soon. And he is jealous for us with godly jealousy.
Denn ich habe euch einem einzigen Mann verlobt.
I have betrothed you to one husband,
dass ich Christus,
that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Der Herr möchte uns alle in die Hochzeit hineinbringen.
The Lord wants to bring us all into the wedding feast. But there is one who is against this enemy. There is one who is against our participating and being there, and that is the serpent.
Ich fürchte aber,
in verse 3, he says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, this serpent, this devil is so crafty, he will put exactly that before your feet and before your eyes, which you like. He knows exactly what you like and what attracts you. He knows you perhaps even better than you know yourself. Today we have AI, artificial intelligence, in the internet, so that the ads that appear when you browse the web are targeted and tailored to you. The ads that you get are not those that might be interesting to just anyone, but exactly that which would interest you. That's what the artificial intelligence learned. And from whom did artificial intelligence learn this? It's the devil. It's his intelligence. He knows exactly where our heart is vulnerable. And so he says, oh, I fear,
as
the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so our minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Oh, Herr. Nun, wenn wir manchmal merken, oder wenn wir jetzt
sometimes,
merken,
if you notice, or even now, if you notice that
Weg
this serpent
hat,
has found a way,
was sollen wir machen?
What should we do?
Wer kann uns helfen?
Who can help us?
Wo ist die wahre Hilfe?
From whence does
Meine
our
Erfahrung
true help come?
Besonders vor der Konferenz,
in my experience,
die wahre Hilfe kommt nur vom Herrn.
The true help, the
es
real
so
help,
Segen,
comes only from the Lord. It's such a blessing to intensively prepare yourself for a conference like this and to seek the Lord, because
Niemand
he alone
kann mein Herz retten und
can
zu Gott
save my heart. No one apart from God can save my heart and bring
gesagt,
my heart back to him,
denke daran,
except for God.
Bist.
The Lord says in Revelation, remember from where you have fallen and repent and return to the first works. No one can help us. No message, no conference. Yesterday we said at the very beginning, the brother said, I don't trust or rely on the conference or myself. We can only trust in the Lord and come to him. And the more we seek him and the more we find him in these days, the more he will help us. So I really encourage you to use the afternoons and to use the whole time here to seek him, because he wants to save us. That our thoughts will be healed, that we would return to the simplicity that is in Christ, that we would love him more than we've ever loved him before. The more, the closer the wedding day approaches, the more we have to love the bridegroom. If you're standing before the door of the wedding feast, you can't have a heart that is cold, otherwise there will be no wedding. Thank the Lord that we can come to him. And that's why we also included in the outline point little lowercase c under 3, casting out of our heart all idols and things that compete with God. No matter what it is, it's so important to do this. And of course, the lusts are also a big problem. Solomon is an example. He was a wonderful king, he really was. But these lusts captured his heart. And as when he became old, he became unfaithful. That's a warning for us. Solomon was even such a one who got a nickname for him. God gave him a special name when he was born.
And das heißt Liebling des Herrn.
Edikia, that is called the
Stark, oder?
Loved one or the darling of the Lord. That's such a strong name. But through the lust of the flesh, when he became old, he fell away. And this is a warning for us
und alle Götzen, alles was wichtiger ist als Gott,
to deal with our heart.
Amen.
To really remove all the things that compete with God and that are idols in our heart, so that we may reach the goal.
Was auch sehr kostbar ist, dieser Gehorsam Christi.
It's also so precious that this obedience of Christ is in our spirit.
Wir können heute wirklich uns zum Herrn wenden.
Today we can really turn to the Lord to learn obedience.
In diesen ganzen Tagen der Vorbereitung der Konferenz,
in all these days of preparing for the conference,
viel Gehorsam zu lernen.
I realized I've still got so much obedience to learn.
And
there was one situation that really seemed so difficult for me.
And the Lord said,
come to me, lay hold of me, I am the obedient one in you. And that's our salvation.
Wir üben nicht und wir lernen nicht ohne den Herrn, sondern wir wenden
uns zum Herrn. Not learning and practicing without the Lord, but we are learning to turn to the Lord.
Wunderbares Wort, Hebräer 5,
Hebrews 5, 8.
Amen.
Hebrews 5, 8.
Der Sohn war,
though he was a son,
können Sie auch zusammenlesen, huh?
We can read
5,
it together.
8, wer es immer hat. Und Vers 9.
And verse 9.
Amen. Obwohl though he was a son, war,
yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Gelernt.
And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation
allen,
to all who obey him.
Der Urheber ewiger Errettung geworden.
Amen. Amen.
Halleluja. Obwohl er der Sohn war, hat er an dem, was er litt, Gehorsam
though he was
gelernt.
A son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The Lord also had to learn obedience.
Es ist nicht von heute auf morgen.
As it is with us, it is
Amen. Aber wir haben
a learning.
Das Leben
it doesn't happen
Gottes
from one day
Geist.
To the next.
Christus
but we have the life of
Amen.
God in our spirit.
Und das ist unser
Christ
Weg.
Lives in
unser
us, and that is our way.
Wille alleine,
the way is not
sondern, wie wir gestern gehört haben,
our
wir haben
will
einen Geist
alone,
der
but
Kraft.
As we heard yesterday, we have a spirit
Amen.
Of power.
Christus lebt in uns.
Christ
Amen.
Dwells in
er
us.
Ist unser Brandopfer.
He is our burnt
und
offering.
Ist der Gehorsame
and he
in uns
is the
allen.
Obedient one in all of us.
Wir können uns immer wieder zu
praise
ihm
the Lord.
Wenden.
We can always turn to him.
Amen. 2. Timotheus 1.
2 Timothy.
Da sagt es, Vers 7.
Chapter 1, verse 7.
Gott hat uns nicht einen Geist der
for God has
gegeben,
not given us a spirit of fear,
Kraft,
but of power
und der Liebe,
and of love
und des
and of a sound mind.
Sinnes. Halleluja. Lobe den Herrn.
Praise
der
the
Herr
Lord.
Lebt in uns.
The
Amen.
Lord dwells in
wenn
us.
Wir an Gehorsam denken, müssen wir gleich daran denken.
And when we
der
think
Herr
of obedience, we immediately have to remember the
der
Lord dwells in
mir.
Us. He lives in me. The obedient
mir.
One lives in me.
Gesagt, es ist der
Paul said,
Christi.
It's the obedience of Christ.
Wir können uns alle auf ihn stützen.
We can all
Herr Jesus.
Lean on him.
Auf ihn stützen,
and when we lean on him, he will give us
und
life.
So, dass wir Gehorsam lernen von ihm.
So that
Amen.
We would learn obedience
Herr
from
Jesus
him.
Christus. Ja, und dieser Gehorsam dem Herrn gegenüber, er bringt uns
and
in
this
das Reich.
Obedience toward the Lord will
dazu,
bring us
Matthäus
into the kingdom. Matthew 7 is a wonderful word that shows
Amen.
Us how important it is to learn obedience with Christ in
er
us, not without
uns.
Him.
Amen.
He lives in us. Matthew
7,
21 to 23.
Nicht jeder,
not everyone who says to me,
nicht jeder, der zu
not
mir
everyone
sagt,
who says to me, Lord, Lord,
Herr,
shall
Reich
enter the kingdom of heaven.
Kommen,
but he who does the will of my Father in heaven,
der in den Himmeln ist. Amen. Halleluja. Lob den Herrn. Dieser Gehorsam bringt uns ins Reich hinein.
This obedience brings us into the kingdom.
Das ist das Brandopfer.
He lives in us. That's the burnt offering. We've had so much fellowship about the burnt offering. The Lord lived such a life of obedience that it can now be fulfilled in us. So we should not say, I'm not able, I can't do it, it's not working. We should say, it's not working yet.
Es klappt noch nicht,
it's not
aber
working
ich
yet,
zum Herrn,
but I will turn
habe.
To the Lord until I have learned it.
So sollen wir dem Herrn sagen.
That's what we should
Amen.
Tell the Lord.
Sagen, Herr,
we
ich
tell
möchte
the Lord,
es lernen.
I want to
durch
learn
dich
it.
In mir. bis es gelingt. Amen.
Through your life in me until I succeed. Through the Lord in us, we can learn obedience.
Gibt noch viele herrliche Worte,
and there are still many glorious words about our reward. And we all have Bibles and concordances, and I encourage you to read all the verses that are listed regarding obedience. It's wonderful food for us. It's so important. Christ in us. He is the obedient one. And in those areas where we are not yet obedient, don't give up, but turn to Him. Tell Him, Lord, you live in me. Lord, I come to you. Through you, I can learn it. In this thing and in that matter. And we can. I can testify to you. There was one thing through the grace of the Lord, I was able to learn obedience where I before could never obey. It is this Christ in us who is the obedient one. We can all learn it through Him. Praise the Lord so that we may enter into the kingdom. Thank the Lord for such a king. He is not only a king outwardly, but He's also the king in us. And through this, we will succeed.